Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. And we're coming to you live from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this start of week 7 around the NFL. Obviously, we spent the chunk of the first hour on the Chiefs and the Broncos tonight. We'll do more football here. We'll do baseball coming up next segment. We'll sprinkle in a little Jason Lockenfora third hour, a little college football for you as well. So we're hitting it all here as we always do. And by the way, every time I see this guy, and I've seen him in hotel gyms like at the Super Bowl, and he's always lifting. I mean, he's a lot bigger than you would think. I mean, you know who I'm talking about, Phil Simms. Every time I see him on Sunday at Tops, because he comes and he does a hit with us, like with Coach Cower, Boomer, and the whole crew, he says, man, I got to tell you, I watch you and Tiki all the time. So I said, well, when are you going to come on the show? And here he is. He is on the show, the awesomely honest Phil Simms. What up, Phil? How you doing today, buddy?
It's a very nice intro, and, you know, I like the way you phrased all that. I call it getting fat. That's why I'm getting bigger. But that's just, I guess, the way we look at it and we describe it. But Tiki is, you know, hey, listen, Brandon, no slight to you, but I always kind of turn it on and listen. I'm sitting at my desk right now. I'm watching you guys, and because I'm really curious to hear what you have to say, but also I'm very curious to see what Tiki's wearing.
Hey, I'm top chill today. I had an event at Macy's. Man, I'm good.
He's going to the Ascot next week.
I laugh. You must have, like Greg Gumbel once said to me, he goes, I have a bedroom that I use as a spare closet. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Phil, when we first started on TV, yeah, I actually tried to wear a jacket every day. I tried to, like,
he's coming in with scarves. He's coming
tried
with
to church it up. Yes, I tried mean, to church it up every day. Then I got tired of it.
And then so, I got used to it.
We're just wearing a sport coat all the time. It'll wear you out.
But listen, so, it's awesome to have you, man. Let's good talk
to
a little shop here.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff to talk about. I'm glad I just follow football. You start. Oh, let's talk about college football. Let's talk about baseball, the NBA, the hockey. Oh, my God.
Leave that to us, Phil. Yes. We'll take care of that. Don't you worry about that. Phil, of course, the NFL on CBS analyst. All right, let's plow through a multitude of quarterback questions and issues. First up,
Morehead State. I'm just kidding.
Morehead State. Maris beat him a couple years ago.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Morehead State has one of the best weight rooms in the country.
Thanks to you. Thanks to you, right?
They named it after me, too.
Oh, they named it after you. How much did you give them? Did you donate anything? Or did
I did. You know, I don't know. I don't know what I gave them. I need to spruce it up this offseason. I know that.
Nice.
You know,
I mean, yeah, nice. That check from 1995.
What do you want to know? I'm watching all the games.
I just had to stop talking.
Shout out to your alma mater, Phil.
Yeah, I like it. Morehead State. Yes, the coach texted me the other day. I did not get back to him yet, so I will. And it's, you know, football is rough down there. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, listen, it's been a little rough for the Chiefs, too. At least the last couple of weeks here, rough. Now, we're trying to decipher with Patty Mahomes, is it the ankle injury, is it the O-line, or is the league catching up? And if you say all three, can you attach a definitive level of which one is more culpable for their, I'll put in quotes, their recent offensive demise?
Well, the offensive demise, well, listen, when you lose Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, they were out. That's a big deal. But I think a lot of teams got a little used to what their scheme was. I noticed this past week against the Houston Texans, as I watched that game going, oh, they changed up a little. You know, more screens, quick throws, timing throws, which they don't do a lot of. You know, Steve Smith told me this on Showtime, and I said, gosh dang, I never thought of it that way. He goes, the Chiefs don't run routes. They just run to an area. As best you can run, 40 yards across the field, bury your head, and go, and then look up when you think the ball's coming. And, you know, as I watch the tape, I go, hell, he's right.
Really?
They really do. They just run speed routes, head down. Their best route runner, without question, is Tyreek Hill. He can come out of cuts as fast as anybody. But I did notice, especially against Houston, a different attack by them. A couple things. Patrick Mahomes takes the deepest drop I've ever seen in pro football history. He sometimes is 12 yards back there. Why? He can see more, now gives him more chances to move around, and just it gives the guys more time to get down the field, things like that. But it all comes down to this, too. Their defense, and it's, I don't know the numbers, I don't care. It's no better than it was last year. And now you lose Chris Jones, by far their best defensive player. That's killing them. You can run the football on them. Houston just picked at them. Just cut them here, cut them there, and then they bleed to death. And that's what Houston did to them, and they can't get off the field. So what does that do? That hurts your quarterback. It hurts your offense.
Yep.
Tiki, you know.
Yep.
Let's go four series without giving you the football, and you lose the feel of what a running back wants in a football game.
That's right.
And that's happening to the Kansas City Chiefs offense also.
That is the great Phil Sims, former Giant, just a tough guy. Mm-hmm. You know, Parcells would yell at him.
I kind of don't like to say tough. I kind of say not real smart.
Right. Well, I was going to get to that.
Sam, I would have played longer, and I sure wouldn't have got hurt as much if I'd just been a little smarter.
Yeah,
you know,
you had the chops to bark back at Parcells, and every Giant fan respects the hell out of you.
Let me just do this real quick.
Yeah.
He encouraged us to yell back at him.
Hmm.
He did. He only yelled at a certain group of guys that he knew he could get away with it. And he yelled at us in front of the team. And every once in a while, I yelled back at him. And he would stop and go, "You hate me, don't you?"
Yeah. You were motivated, right?
Do you want to hit me? And I'm just going, what is wrong with you? I mean, really, think about that. In all your athletic life, do you ever have a coach say it to you?
No.
With, you know, the tone and being like a smart aleck and all that? I mean, Bill was the master psychologist of all time.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why he won some Super Bowls.
That's exactly
Phil
right.
Phil Sims with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Phil, let me jump to the Bears real quick. We just talked about the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. One of his proteges is Matt Nagy,
right,
who came to the Chicago, and we thought he was going to help Mitch Trubisky evolve. I don't know what your thoughts are on Mitch Trubisky, but it feels like this year is a significant step back from last year, and I'm wondering why. You know, when you watch him, is there potential for him? Because a lot of people are now saying, well, they're better off with Chase Daniel. I'm like, Chase Daniel, come on.
What do you think about
Trubisky, really the job that Nagy is doing with him?
Smack me in the back of the head for people who say that. I mean, you know, listen, Trubisky, big, strong, fast, has a strong arm. Is he the most accurate guy in the NFL? No. But here's what bothers me about that whole situation. They laid out that narrative.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're scaling back our offense for Mitchell Trubisky. Oh, so just tell the world that he's not smart. That's what you're trying to say. And so that really bothers me. Who sets a narrative that's negative for their drafted, high-drafted franchise quarterback?
Great point. They do
it right out of the bat, and it's bothered me ever since. And listen, when they played in the playoffs last year, what'd they go last year? 12-4. Well, how many quarterbacks in the NFL went 12-4? And also, who was the best player in that playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles? It was Mitchell Trubisky.
Yep.
He takes them down. He gets the touchdown to put them ahead. And the great vaunted defense lets Philadelphia march down and score. And then what's Trubisky do? Oh, makes miraculous, unbelievable throws and plays to get them down to the field goal, and they miss. And so the narrative continues. He stinks. He can't win a big game and all this. And when I watch their offense, I find it very limiting. And listen, they had Jordan Howard. You remember that?
Yep.
They could line up and smash you and punch you in the face. I don't see that anymore. So when you lose, Tiki, come on. I don't even have to tell you. You know all this.
Yep.
Once you lose that toughness to run the football,
right,
it affects your whole football team. And how about when they went over and played the Oakland Raiders and the Oakland Raiders punched them in the mouth the whole game?
Yeah. No, and you're right. You made a
good
point.
That's my take on it. And listen, when it changes, I'll say it changes. I'll admit that I'm wrong.
We started our show with that. There was like a two and a half, three-year period where we were obsessed with these like wide-open offenses. Sean McVay and the Saints, historically, Sean Payton has always done that, but Pat Mahomes in Kansas City. But The cliche is defenses always catch up. They do, and they've started to catch up a little bit. So the only way you can be successful is if you run the ball and play good defense. That's why we see the 49ers playing so well. It's why the New England Patriots, despite not having an elite, I put that in quotes, elite offense anymore,
the Saints,
they're still playing that well.
Packers.
The Saints, you know, without Drew Brees.
Yeah, well, they do, yes.
Exactly. So let's run the ball and play good defense. It's simple.
You know,
it's football 101 football. From, like, the 60s.
Yeah, well, you know, listen. You know, I think the Los Angeles Rams are going through a little bit of that. You know, everybody, oh, we're going to run a speed sweep. Oh, we're going to fake the speed sweep and run a zone, you know, an outside run. Oh, let's fake the sweep, the outside run, throw a screen. Now let's throw a deep crosser. Okay, now we got it. Now what? And I look at Green Bay, which I follow these teams pretty close. Green Bay has got Aaron Rodgers. You know, he made some faces to the sideline the other night. Wasn't that pretty funny?
Yeah.
And you know, he's looking at Matt LaFleur going like, shut up. You're talking too much in my helmet or whatever. Who knows? But you got Matt LaFleur. I loved all that preseason talk. Oh, he's not going to let Aaron Rodgers, you know, check off. And, you know, look, the system is so well built, you probably won't have to check out too much. But he's got Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan in him. And then he goes up to Green Bay, and he's got Aaron Rodgers. He goes, oh, Aaron Rodgers does a few things that these other guys can't. They don't have the quarterback to do. So he keeps Aaron Rodgers' favorite plays. Now they're running the football differently. It's not just one outside zone. I hate to do these terms.
Mm-hmm.
Outside runs and zones. They do everything. And as time goes on, they're continuing to get better. And their offensive line is learning to run these plays. But the biggest thing is they're getting better at blocking on the play-action passes, which now we see Aaron Rodgers. Why wouldn't you do a lot of play-actions and get him back there and let guys run? Because he can fire it into the tightest spots on the field. And we're seeing more of that. I'm telling you, Green Bay's offense is really – and I did it this week just because I'm going to do something on CBS about it on Sunday. I watched three games continuously, just every play, boom, boom. And you know what I came out? I went, oh, my God, they do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all true. This is a definitely different offense, and Matt LaFleur is just building on it. And their offense is going to be tough to stop as we go along this season.
It's good stuff.
But, of course, if they can just keep one or two receivers healthy, would really help.
Yeah.
Devontae will be back soon. I hear you. Of course, Phil, 15 years in the NFL, two Super Bowls, one of which he was the MVP. New York Giants, Ring of Honor, of course, one of the great analysts, NFL Today, CBS, part of the crew. All right, let me hit you with this here, Phil. Take us back to, I would use the word vaunted, although it doesn't seem so vaunted all of a sudden. The vaunted quarterback draft class of 2018, all right? Tell me who you would have drafted number one that night, and tell me who you would draft number one today after seeing them as pros, small samples.
Oh, geez. You know, there's so much in my head here. Here we go. Baker was number one, right?
Yeah.
And who was number two, Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold went number three overall.
He was the
second quarterback. Yes.
Second. You know, I think that just to do this real quick, I don't know how, you know, go through all the guys. I was a big Josh Allen fan because I thought he was going to translate well to the NFL. And I'll do it fast. I'm not disappointed in him, but, oh, my gosh, just throw the check down once in a while. But his movement is so much greater than I saw in college. So the big arm and his great movement just gives you a lot to go with and great size.
Yep.
Sam Darnold, you know, you have to really pay attention, but his little flinches and movement, his feet are great. He's got a big old set of legs on him, as I say. He's got a big old butt. And he's got these little tiny feet, and he can move in the pocket, and he can – it's not that he moves. He kind of hops over to another spot, and what it does, it stops the defensive lineman. And if that Cowboy game was a great example, and he made quite a few completions just because he kind of moved enough, and all of a sudden the D-line stops because they think, oh, he's going to scramble. And the other thing is he can change his arm angle tremendously to throw the ball, sidearm, over, whatever, and make those throws. And, you know, so Josh Allen we talked about, Josh Rosen, what do you say about him? Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's what you say.
That's all you can say. And I'll tell you this, Lamar Jackson, I loved him coming out of college, and I was really, really disappointed when I saw him throwing the football in preseason, his rookie year and all that. But, man, has he fixed it, and he is everything that, you know, that I saw. saw at the University of Louisville. He is doing it now in the NFL.
Yeah.
And hey, what a unique concept, guys. We got a franchise quarterback. Let's build the system that really fits him. You know, we always hear that, but most coaches can't do it. And Greg Roman and John Harbaugh signed off on it. They mouthed off all offseason about it, and I kept saying to everybody, well, we'll see. We'll see. And, well, he showed us. And it really is. It's a great system. Frees him up. He's been, a very good decision maker, and he's throwing the ball better than I've ever seen him throw the football.
It's great stuff. I mean, this is what you get from Phil Sims.
Who's the last guy I missed? I'm missing one.
You didn't really expound on Baker, by all means.
Well, Baker, yeah. I loved it last year, but somebody on TV today, I was just watching, I was listening to him, and they kind of, he's a little out of control. In other words, you know, baseball tonight, the Yankees, he can throw it to the corners or whatever, but Baker just tries to wind up and throw it 100 miles an hour right down the middle of the plate. And that doesn't work because guys are going to hit it when you just throw it right down the middle of the plate. And I guess what I'm trying to say there is I see him put more effort into his throws, and the harder you try to throw it sometimes, when you lose a little bit control of the football in the NFL, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I say it all the time. And I actually kind of grade guys. Lost control of the ball. I'll see 4 times in a game, that's 3 times too many. Mm. That's why quarterbacks must change their motions and do different things once they get in the pros, because accuracy is the number one. You got to put it right where it belongs, one, to beat the defenders, and two, so they can catch it and run. He had it last year. This year, it's kind of been all over the place. And I would just say to him, Baker, just be a little smoother and don't throw it so hard, because it does look like he's raring back to throw a fastball every pitch.
I mean, we just got our master's degree in quarterback play. Phil, that was absolutely phenomenal. We're a little late, but certainly worth it.
I'm sorry to keep you too long.
No,
trust
me.
When I get talking, I'm always frustrated, so I talk longer than I should.
We bend the rules for certain people. You're one of them. I'll see you Sunday morning. We'll get you back on the radio show really soon, all right?
Guys, thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure.
See you, Tiggy.
See you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. That was phenomenal. I love that guy. Phil Sims was money. He hit everything. You hit Mahomes. You hit the quarterbacks that are the veterans. You hit the 5 kids from last year. Good stuff. Phil, of course, NFL Today analyst, CBS, and part of the crew. Coming up. All right, so Major League Baseball cleared the Astros of any wrongdoing, signals, you know, stealing of signs. But even if they were, is it really cheating? Let's get into that coming up. Do a little Yanks and the Astros coming up. Big one tonight in the Bronx. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You ever get in your car and it won't start? Yep, been there. Dead battery. And the last thing you want during the cold months is a dead battery. 1 out of 4 batteries will fail this winter. Will it be yours? Well, get it tested for free during Super Start Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Super Start battery just for you, just for your car or truck or SUV. You know you can trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. They'll check your battery for free, but they'll also check your alternator and starter for free. Your wiper blades, bulbs, and engine lights, too. O'Reilly can resurface your drums and rotors, loan you tools, and build you a custom hydraulic hose. And did I mention they even mix paint? How cool is that? Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years, and so can you. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. So if you go into the Bronx, dress well. It's going to be windy. Not as windy as it's been today. It hit up to about 27, 28 miles per hour. Obviously, we are in New York for our show. From a national audience perspective, you're in Houston getting ready to watch your Astros. You're on the coast getting ready to watch a little American League Championship baseball. I mean, it's going to be blustery out there. It's the winds are dissipating, but the first pitch is 8:08 Eastern. So about a little less than probably about 3.5 hours from now, roughly. The wind should be more in the 15 to 16 mile per hour direction. What that does, I have no idea. I mean, could there be a wind-blown home run? Could it be a 12-9 game? Could it be a 1-0 game because nobody could hit? I don't think it could be a pop-up with miscommunication. Anything could happen tonight. What has maybe happened, but has since been, at least in terms of the Major League Baseball's point of view, denounced in terms of cheating. The Astros got a little whistling going on, whistling a little Dixie from the dugout. Now, this happens all the time, and the Yankees complained about this. The Astros, they were actually engaged in a shouting match on the field, and apparently the Astros were whistling to signify what was coming, that they stole the Yankee signs. First of all, even if that's the case, the Yankees got to stop being so petty about this.
Yes.
This has been happening for over 100 years. The only problem that I truly have, Teague, and I mean this, if there's a digital recording, if there's somebody in the press box or in the scouting department, that you can't do. If I'm smart enough to deduce what these fingers mean or this arm means or that, or this tip of the cap, I'm going to tell you.
Of course. I don't see anything wrong with stealing signs. It's part of the gamesmanship of sport. Now, if just like, you know, the what was it called for the Patriots? Why am I forgetting it?
Spygate.
Just like Spygate, if it's blatantly illegal, meaning putting someone on the sideline with a camera, then that's different.
Mm-hmm.
If someone out in Minute Maid Park, it's still called Minute Maid Park, right? In Houston, I think. Yeah, I can't remember. I think it is.
I think it is too.
If there's someone out in the
that's not Enron Park.
Yeah, no,
that we know.
Long gone. If someone out in the outfield with like a telephotic, a camera, you know, taking shots,
transmitting it to the Apple, to the Apple Watch,
then I have a problem with that.
You can't do. Yeah.
But if someone's just, you know, blatantly staring at a pitcher's movements, and he sees the thumb up and whatever the tip is, and he relays it. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, definitely not. And a lot of pitchers tend to do that. A lot of pitchers leave their index finger outside of their glove, and there's a tendency when you throw in a curve or you can differentiate between. I think it's a little more than that. You know, if you're on second base and you're obviously, whether it's location, whether it's pitch and location. You know, here's the one thing that I never understood. I would not want to know. Because there is nothing worse than being in that batter's box and your buddy on second base puts a flat arm out to like, hey, here comes the soft stuff, and you're expecting 82 and 97 comes buzzing under your chin.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to know. Now, if it's other stuff, again, location, that's interesting. If it's a bunt formation or a defensive alignment, you know, the Yankees need to do a better job of obscuring.
Of course.
Of obscuring the signs that they relay.
Right.
I have no problem with what the Astros are doing if they're actually doing it, which they are.
Be a better code maker.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Make it harder for them to figure it out.
Yeah.
And if you know they're stealing it, intentionally deceive them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's ways to combat stealing signs. And so I've never had an issue with it. I hear it every couple of years, it comes up.
It always comes up.
And it becomes a big
deal.
More
so with technology, but it always comes up.
Agreed. Yeah. And again, with technology, I think that's illegal. You shouldn't be able to use technology that we know about. Even though if there's technology we don't know about, it's one thing. But you know what I mean? If there's known technologies, that's not above board. But if you're sloppy, that's on you.
Yeah,
right.
100%. Next, they're going to say a wide receiver at the line of scrimmage can't deke left because he's faking. You know, he's deceptive in his motion. He can't deke left before he goes right, or vice versa. Or Aaron Rodgers can't give one of the, you know, be like a little shoulder. I mean, it is what it is. It's gamesmanship. The pettiness, you know, and I understand fans latching onto it, but I'm a little surprised the Yankees got engaged in a war of words. That's a little weak. What's not weak, though, and I want to get to this here. We have a little star here on the Tiki and Tierney Show.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little star. Actually, he's morphed into quite the big star. His name is Jimmy Randazzo. Jimmy Randazzo is our EVS operator. What that means, graphics and all, if you're watching us on TV now, or at any point, you'll see, you know, images and photos of players, whatever we're talking about. Jimmy's responsible for that. It really syncs up the show. It's an underrated part of the show, but it's vital to what we do, and he does a great job. Jimmy Randazzo's trending. Jimmy Randazzo is all over the world. Jimmy Randazzo, and we're going to play this for you. Now, he's at the Yankee game 2 days ago. He was the only one standing in his section. Everybody else was sitting there like this. Like they're in church listening to a sermon. Jimmy got up and he implored people to wake up. It went viral. Barstool had it. USA Today had it. New York Post had it. We give Jimmy some love. How about Jimmy representing? Go get him, Jimmy. I've never been more proud of anybody connected with the Tiki and Tierney Show in my life. Those Yankee fans in that frame.
Yeah, what the hell are they doing?
Should be ashamed of themselves. I'm disgusted with them. Jenny Randazzo is absolutely right.
Yeah,
it is the league championship series. You're a couple of wins away from the World Series, and it sounds like a morgue. Get off your behinds and follow our boy Jimmy Randazzo.
What was the score?
Who's there tonight?
What was the
again?
Score at this point?
It was early in the game. We were on the air, so I don't know exactly when that dropped, but somebody captured it on video, and then Barstool picked it up, and now Jimmy Randazzo is
the
hero.
Who was in the Were the Yankees?
I think the Yankees were at bat. Yeah.
So the Yankees were at bat, and everybody's just chilling.
Yeah, look at them, not even moving. You might listen. That scene.
Well, those two look like tourists.
They shouldn't be there if that's the case. That scene, or at least not sitting behind
home plate.
I don't know. Whatever. That scene is more emblematic of the seventh inning of a Yankees Orioles spring training game when number 92 is playing shortstop and number 79 is playing center field.
Yeah,
that's what you expect in a grapefruit game or a cactus league game out west. It's the league champions. Jimmy, I got your back, Jimmy. I have Jimmy Randazzo's back to the end of the earth on this, Jimmy. If anybody gives you pushback tonight, you send them our way, and Tiki will take care of them. Attaboy, Randazzo. Look at these. They're like zombies. That is disgusting. That is pathetic. And that's why I don't hate. There was a point where I hated the new stadium. I've actually grown to like it a little. But that's why this stadium it's never going to be like the old stadium. Mm. You would have been mocked incessantly, and you would have been kicked out of the stadium. If you were sitting down in the old Bronx, the stuff that I saw at that stadium, which, by the way, I don't condone. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's levels of ridiculousness. But cheering on the Yankees in Game 3 of the League Championship Series when it's tied 1-1? No, Jimmy Randazzo's got it right. Attaboy, Jimmy. Attaboy.
Ack, do you concur?
Nonsense.
Attaboy, Spider.
Ack always with his well-timed 1980s reference. Dropping something in there current.
Right, I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
I know what he means. That's that's what you come up with. You come up with Goodfellas?
Yes.
Why, because of the name Randazzo? Because he's Italian?
No, but I always like the way De Niro said that. Attaboy, Spider.
You just keep on being you, Jimmy Randazzo.
Right.
We got your back, pal.
That's right.
All right, Ack's update is right now. Coming up next, this is a really good story. I was actually doing some research on Eli Drinkwitz's background. He's the head coach at App State, and the path that he's taken is a pretty amazing one. So, of course, we'll talk about it. I think they're 5-0, and they're ranked, so they're obviously very good. But his road to this position is inspiring. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll get it after Ack's update, which is right now. Here's Rich. Jimmy Randazzo. Just sounds like a Yankee fan, doesn't he? Sunday, the NFL on CBS is back at Lambeau when the Packers take on the Raiders. Raiders looking a little feisty so far this year, Teak. Looking pretty good. Coming off the bye week in London with the win, plus a big key AFC South battle between the Texans. And we had Whitney Merciless on the show yesterday. He was fantastic. And the Indianapolis Colts, they're pretty good as well. It's a big matchup in the AFC South. It all starts with JB and the guys getting you ready for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Coming up next hour, by the way, another CBS teammate. We had Phil Simms on about 30 minutes or so ago. Jason Locken for his usual Thursday dish. But right now we get a chance to go a little bit off script. And obviously when it comes to, when you do a national show, you hit the huge stories, the ones that generate the eyeballs, the ones that generate the clicks. And that's, of course, talking about Joe Burrow and LSU and the Buckeyes and obviously Alabama and Clemson trying to go back-to-back and all the great storylines that are mainstream. And then there's some that don't quite get the attention, admittedly, but are equally awesome in its own right and in their own right. And we're joined by the head coach from a program who's authoring something pretty special so far. And this guy's journey is amazing. His name is Eli Drinkwitz, and he's the head coach for Appalachian State. 24th in the country, by the way, so they're ranked. And they are 5-0. They're at home this weekend. Coach, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's always a great time to get a chance to talk about Mountaineer football and a chance to talk to you two guys. I'm blessed.
Yeah, nice. It sounds like you've had a great season so far. Is there one thing that you can point to that before the season started that gave an indication to you that you were heading down this path at the first, 6 weeks of the college football season?
Well, one thing I would say is, pump the brakes just a little bit. We're halfway through the season, and really, you know, we put ourselves in a position to be competitive for the conference championship, but there's so much left to do. And winning is fragile, as y'all know. And so I hate to talk about how special it is and all that good stuff. All we've done so far is put ourselves in a position to have a good season moving forward. But I did think this team, I mean, obviously the foundation laid by Coach Satterfield and Coach Moore, the previous head coaches here, has allowed the winning tradition to be in place. But I really think this team has the real drive to be a championship team. And that's the thing I think that's been impressive to me so far.
Yeah, what's impressive from the outside looking in is that you lose the head coach, meaning the program loses the head coach, and then immediately there's no slack off. So it's almost like, yeah, you know, that's as challenging, I think, as anything, because, I don't know, trust, there's lack of understandings, there's new policies, new principles,
yeah,
like all of these things.
New schemes.
Schemes, moving parts. And the play wasn't really affected. 11-2 last year. You start this season the way that you've started. I mean, that's a tip of the cap to you. What have you done to bridge that? Sometimes with some can be a very rough transition.
Well, I think there's two things. I think one, I was very aware of, you know, I think there's two types of jobs you can take. One is a job that where you go in and rebuild everything, and anything you say they buy into because they haven't won before. You take this job where they've won every season. And so when you come in and try to change something, you know, there's a little bit of, well, we didn't do it that way before and we won. So the thing that we approached the team with was preference versus performance. All right. We all have preferences in life, but the thing is, what's going to be best for our performance? And by changing this, can we have a better performance? And then we would back it up with, this is the things that we've done in the past and why it's been successful. And, you know, one of the things that's unique about our staff is we have 77 national conference championships among our coaching staff. And so there was instant credibility within our players that, okay, these guys have coached, won national championships, won conference championships. They know what they're doing. And then as a coaching staff, we lowered our ego and said, you know what, there are some things that they've done here that's pretty good that mm-hmm. we can do. And it may not be our preference, but the performance says it's the best way to do it. And so I think those two aspects probably gave us the ability to build what you said earlier, which is the trust amongst the team and the coaching staff. And we're still learning new things every day about our team as far as the scheme and what things they're really good at, what things they're not quite as comfortable at. But there is a trust and respect amongst the coaches and the players that has allowed us to build this thing a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and listen, Coach, you know this. I mean, you've been at bigger schools. You were at NC State for a couple of years. You were at Boise State as well. Boise State's had a good program for a long time. The while it's kind of position, oh, the little engine that could, look at App State. No, I mean, you've won four straight bowl games. I know you weren't there for that, but you've won four straight as a program. You were 11-2 last year. One of your losses was at Penn State in week one overtime. We all remember the game years ago when you beat Michigan. I got to ask you this. I look at your resume, and can you please connect the dots? I'm so impressed by this because I know that this is not easy to do. 2005, yeah. T, check this out. He's an assistant at high school. He's an assistant in high school. Yeah. Then he goes to another high school, and he's the OC. Then suddenly you wind up at Auburn. How the hell does that happen?
Well, there's two things. The minds of men plan the ways the Lord directs their steps. And I've been very blessed on my journey. I happened to work with a guy named Gus Malzahn in high school football. And he had an opportunity for me to come as a quality control assistant. And I'm going to date myself a little bit. That's but okay. There was a Lincoln commercial with one Tiki Barber in it.
Hey!
And the line was, opportunities are seldom perfect, but you got to be ready when the opportunity presents itself. Something to that vein.
He still drives that car, Coach.
That's exactly the quote. That's exactly
but
the quote.
But wait, it was a Cadillac commercial. Wasn't that the Cadillac one?
It was
going over the bridge, right?
Okay, it's Cadillac. Yeah. It's a nice car. It's a car I couldn't afford.
Yeah.
Okay. But that really was it for me. Opportunities are seldom perfect. It wasn't a perfect opportunity, but you have to be ready when the moment presented itself.
That's right. You know, my wife
and I left our comfort of our job. We had a two-month-old baby, and we said, you know, we're going to put our faith in the Lord and trust that this is the opportunity for us.
Wow.
And we did it, and it's worked out so far. But that honestly is a piece of advice that I've always taken with me. I know it's kind of funny because it's a car commercial, but full circle now. I'm talking to Tiki Barber on the radio, so I guess it was right on.
That's pretty amazing. You're also talking to Brandon Tierney. I'm just kidding. Well, yeah. I got you. No commercial yet. I hear you. Eli Drinkwitz is with us, the App State head coach, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You know, you've started the season 5-0, coach, and you've ranked for the first time. And last year you were ranked as well, but it lasted for like 5 days, and then you lost. The feeling has got to be amazing amongst obviously the staff, but also the players. How are you cautioning them? Because there's still games that you have to play. I know UL Monroe is up next, and then South Alabama and Georgia Southern. Like, there's games that still have to be played, and you haven't finished the goal. How do you keep them focused when the excitement has to be palpable?
Well, I think there's two things. One, we talk about don't drink the Kool-Aid. And that's the reality of it is you don't drink that, the Kool-Aid, the outside noise, the pats on the back. To get caught up in the pats on the back is the same thing to get caught up when they're negative and they're booing you. You trust the circle that you're in right then. And the second thing is we have a motto, we just want to be 1-0 each week. And the only way to be 1-0 is to start the process over every single week and stay hungry. I think our coaching staff has done a great job of making sure we point out the things where we need to improve. All right, we're 5-0, but there's a lot of mistakes on film. They're going to catch us. And I think one of the things that really helped us was, we beat North Carolina, and we felt like we should have beat them a lot worse than we actually did. Yeah. But we didn't do some things in the second half that showed up on tape that we have to get corrected. And that has been our motto and our message to our players. Unless they give us 24 points for being ranked 24th, which they don't, you really don't mean a crap.
That's
true. What really matters is the performance on the field Saturday. And I promise you, if we don't get it done, those same people that are patting you on the back and all that crap, they'll be on Twitter telling you how bad I am. So
true. We
don't really get caught up in that. Praise and blame are all really the same. You just got to focus on the task at hand and the job at hand. Now, for our alumni and all that, boy, I'm proud. I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But for us in those locker rooms, us in the middle of the fight, we're only in the middle of the fight, man. Nobody's won a fight in the fifth round. You don't get a knockout here. All right, we got to go the distance. And so we got a lot of work to do, and ULM's a really good opponent. And I can promise you, they got our full attention.
That's coming up 3:30 Eastern. It's a home game. Coach, I'm curious. Everybody knows from the transition from FCS, a great program, three straight national championships on the FCS level going back to the mid-2000s here. To make the jump, as you so seamlessly have, I'm sure it seems more seamlessly to us than it actually has been in the building. There's a lot of things that you have to do to make that jump. But in terms of the ceiling of this program, the facilities, the infrastructure, the money that the school's committed, I don't mean your contract, but just to the infrastructure of the program, what's the ceiling? What's the limit for App State?
Well, I think the question is what's the level of commitment that we want to be at, because that's the ceiling. I mean, if you want maximum output, you got to have maximum input. If you want minimum output, you're going to have minimum input. And so I think the question that we have to – what we've accomplished so far is just the tip of the iceberg, and it should give great hope and credibility to the administration and to the fan base of what this thing can continually be if we become totally committed to that. And that's my message, not only to our team, but to our fan base and to our boosters and to our administration is – here's what a total commitment looks like. If we want to be the premier program in the group of five, well, then we have to be on par with all the other group of five programs. And I will say this, our administration has done an outstanding job of fitting that vision. And we're in the process of building an end zone facility right now. We've got massive renovation across campus, and they're really bought into that. But the question is, Clemson won the national championship. They were building their awesome facility before they won the national championship. And I think that's the vision you have to have. We got to have that maximum input now, knowing that it'll pay off.
You got to spend it to make it. Eli Drinkwitz, 5-0, looking for more at home, 3:30 Eastern. Against the Raging Cajuns, right? I believe it's the Raging Cajuns.
And, Coach, I got to tell you, you made my day. That commercial, it was an opportunistic commercial. I told BT this story. We only have about a minute here. But we filmed a whole other commercial that got put on the scrap floor because that small interview that was for digital, they just did that for the internet, and it turned out to be the commercial. So, yeah. I mean, it was an opportunity that lasted forever for me. So, I appreciate you. You made my day, Coach. Good luck to you,
man.
Well,
I tell you what, it spoke to me, man, and it was a powerful message, and I think it's a message that needs to be heard. Opportunities are not always perfect, but you got to be ready to jump at them. And I appreciate your message to me because it meant a lot to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Coach.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good luck this weekend.
You got two fans here, Tiki and Tierney. Thank you, Coach. You got it, buddy.
My boys. Y'all have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
He's got a lot of sayings. You can tell he's a deep thinker. He's got a lot of
balance. I mean, you kind
of
have to, though, BT, when you're at a smaller program and you're on the come. You gotta instill belief. And you realize that, you know, that program, I mean, transition. Satterfield left, and they were 11-2. It's like, wait, you're leaving as coach?
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
It could go south really quickly. To keep it stable is a testament to coach. A
lot of respect for programs like that. Not that I don't have respect for Bama, but that's a different, to sustain it. That's why, you know, Boise's.
It's a different grind.
It's a different grind. It's a different chase. It's a different game.
Yeah.
You're playing a different game, even though you're playing on the same dimensions of a field. Everything's different. Budget, recruiting, expectations. That is, he's doing a hell of a job. That's a good job. That was a good interview right there. All right, coming up, if you wanted Bradley Beal in a trade, too late. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.